Wasn't that great? Tim and Carrie and all of those that helped did a great job putting that together, and the kids did wonderful. Thank you so much. And you heard the story. I mean, not heard it, you saw the story. I just simply like to follow up with what the children have shown us this morning with 3 bits of Christmas wisdom. There is a lot of lessons that we can learn from the story of the wise men as they visited Jesus in that first Christmas. So what's the takeaway for us? Well, first of all, the wise men's journey was one of faith. The wise men's journey was one of faith. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. You know, there's a lot of things that can motivate us to take a journey. A journey as the wise man did into the unknown. Probably the least of these would be faith, although that's the most important one. The wise men had to take a journey of faith because really, besides the scripture that gave them the prophecy that a king would be born and them putting two and two together and getting four and seeing the star and all of the things that surrounded this story, the trappings of it, they really had no clue where they were going or what they would get into. And I'm sure they were ridiculed by people who knew them, by even by their own families. Where are you going? What are you doing? We don't know exactly. But we're taking a walk of faith. You know, the fact is that when God calls us to a journey, and that journey is the Christian walk, he calls us to do the same thing. It always involves faith. I've never seen God. I've never heard his voice audibly. But I know he exists because I believe the scripture is true. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God apart from faith because anyone who wants to approach God must first believe that he exists and that he is a good God. I believe that. A lot of people have believed that throughout the years. You know, it's kind of apropos that we even talk about this man in the Christmas season and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, but William Carey. William Carey was a shoemaker. And one day he heard that there were millions of people in India that needed to know Christ. They needed the gospel. So he told his church that he wanted to take the good news and go to India. Well, his church, the elders in the church, didn't have quite the same level of faith as he did. And they said, young man, we want you to sit down because when God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help. Boy, that felt good, didn't it? A lot of support back home. But he did it anyway. So he went and he labored 7 years, paid his own way. For 7 years, he saw no converts. But after that, William Carey began to see hundreds of churches and thousands of converts to Christianity come about. Today, William Carey is known as the father of modern missions. He was a man of faith. So the first thing that we can learn from this wonderful story about the wise men to extract some wisdom for Christmas is that a wise man or woman's journey is always one of faith. Secondly, worship has something to do with this. A wise man or woman's journey is one of worship. You remember that the children showed us that they presented gifts to Jesus of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, you know, this was prophetic. Gold, a gift for a king. Jesus would be a king. Frankincense was the type of incense that was burned at the temple to offer up prayers, foreshadowing that he would be the high priest. But myrrh was this substance that was used in the wrappings and the embalming of people when they died, foreshadowing that the king that was the high priest would someday die. So all of that was in the giving of the first gifts at Christmas time. But you see, there's really a whole other level than gold, frankincense, and myrrh and the expensiveness that was given. And I'm sure that Mary and Joseph could use those gifts. It's about worship. And, you know, true worship always involves sacrifice. Does it not? When we worship and truly worship God, we have to give something. People in Old Testament and even New Testament times, when they worshiped, they had to bring the best of their flocks or some type of offering to God for it to be sacrificed. You see, there was sacrifice there. In 2 Samuel 24:24, this is what King David said about sacrifice. He says, I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means your whole self, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The greatest gift that we could ever give God is not our money. It's not our time. It's not our talents. It's not any of these things. But the greatest gift that we can give God is ourselves. Every bit of us. You may be sitting there saying, what did I sacrifice today? Well, you have. Think about it before you sell yourselves too short. Today you gave something of yourself. You did give the Lord your time. You carved out time to be here this morning. You got in your car and you brought yourself here. It took money to buy gas to get you here. You had to, I guess you kind of cleaned up, put on some more clothes, and you got here. And then when the offering plate went by, or in Sunday school, you'll give an offering, which goes to keep these lights on, which goes for kingdom business, which goes for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which goes to help missionaries all around the world this time of year. You see, today, maybe in small ways, you've presented yourself a living sacrifice in your worship to God. But the fact is that what God wants most of all, He wants every bit of you and me. 24/7, He wants your heart. He wants our attention. We really need to ponder that question, I think, every day in the new year. What are we willing to give Jesus? How much of us are we willing to give Him? The third bit of wisdom we can extract from this story about the wise man is that a wise man's journey is one of change. It's one of change. Look with me at verse 12 in our text in chapter 2 of Matthew. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I like what the little guy said about Herod. Never liked that guy anyway. That was cute. But isn't it interesting, though, that after they worshiped Jesus and after they saw Him for who He was and understood more about why they came and the purpose of them, of their whole journey, that they were changed. They couldn't go back home the same way that they came. And neither can we. There's nobody that's ever met Jesus that were ever left the same. Everybody was changed one way or another. You know, in the Old Testament, Jacob wrestled with God, and he walked away with a limp from that point on. Isaiah stopped in the presence of God one day and proclaimed, "Woe is me, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He was never the same again. And what about poor old Job? You remember him? Over and over and over again, rightly so, he questioned God about his sufferings. But when God finally showed up, what did Job say? He didn't say anything, did he? The scripture says, "I'm speechless. I'm in awe. Words fail me. I should never have opened my mouth. I've talked too much, way too much. I'm ready to shut up and listen. That's the Burt version, but that's what it says. Job met God. He walked away a changed man. And this is what happens any time that you and I have an encounter with God. When we walk into His presence, we're changed. The wise men were changed when they encountered Christ. Things are different. No doubt you have heard already in this Christmas season, the Christmas story in many different ways, forms, and fashions. You heard part of it this morning as well. And you'll hear it between now and Wednesday and probably after that as well. But just keep in mind, three things we extract from this wonderful story that the children shared with us this morning. The wise man's journey was one of faith. Our lives have to be based in a faith in God. They worshiped Him. Worship requires sacrifice, or it's not worship. They walked away after encountering Jesus, changed forever, and so will we. Do you need a change in your life today? I know we deal with many different things on many different levels, and all of it's not salvation. Some of it is. But even after we come to Christ and He changes us, there's more changes to be had at every level of life, in every walk that we take in life, in every stage that we take in our development in life, as we're young and as we grow older. There's always change, and there's always in that change a need for Almighty God. We need Him when we're young. We need Him when we're teenagers. We need Him when we're having kids and we're young adults. We need Him after that, and we need Him when we grow old and we look forward to that big last step of faith, going home to heaven, don't we? We need Him. And that's my prayer for you and for me, for us today, is that from this story that we've looked at this morning and our children so wonderfully portrayed, there's a lot of wisdom to be had in Christmas, particularly from these wise men. I hope you got the points, and I hope that you'll allow God to further change you. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for today. And we thank You for the story that we've both seen and heard that reminds us of how precious a gift that You sent to mankind. Emmanuel, God is with us. God, thank You for manifesting Yourself to us in a way we can understand. And I pray that today our lives will be changed, that we will make decisions, maybe on some lower level, but maybe on a higher level as well. The little things in our lives that need to be tweaked, or the big things that really need to be changed, that You'll help us and give us, make us courageous enough to do just that. Thank You, Father. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. And as Steve leads us in our hymn of invitation, I want to invite you to embrace the wisdom that the wise men shared with us today. Most of all, allow God to change your life on whatever level that needs to be done. Because we're all dealing with something, and we all need God's help. Amen? So, let Him help you today. Let's sing.